earth, sky.
Once you start realizing that the world is a hackable platform, you see all sorts of possibility.
You're listening to Mark Frauenfelder, a blogger, illustrator, and journalist, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Frauenfelder is editor-in-chief of Make magazine, and he helped found the popular website Boing Boing. His new book, released in May 2010, is called Made by Hand, Finding Meaning in a Throwaway World. It's about DIY, do-it-yourself, a term coined in the 1950s, expressed in the late 1960s with Stuart Brand's Whole Earth Catalog, and now popular again in the U.S. Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke with Frauenfelder about the relationship between the Internet and doing-it-yourself.
So when I think of Boing Boing, I'm usually thinking about futurism and science fiction, information technology, gadgets, intellectual property. And so now you've released this book called Made by Hand about DIY or do-it-yourself, which you're describing a year you spent doing things like raising chickens and hacking your espresso maker. So I'm just wondering, how did you get from this kind of futurism and science fiction to making and doing things by hand? What's the connection there?
Yeah, well, I think in a way it's kind of full circle, because the internet plays a huge role in the things that I do. And so, you know, the whole kind of cyber angle of Boing Boing was about, you know, providing this really great information network to people that connected people to ideas and other people that shared similar interests. And so now we're at the point where you can go online and find out about anything that you're interested in. So if you want to, you know, do some geeked out gardening techniques that maximize the number of calories per square foot of garden, you can go online and find people who can help you with that. It's kind of a natural development. And I think maybe Boing Boing in the early days focused on just looking at internet technology because it was really cool, in the same way that a lot of old magazines were really interested in radios and televisions, like the technology of those things. But now the content on those devices is allowing people to do things that they weren't able to do before, or had a harder time figuring out how to do.
And so my boss had actually never heard the term DIY when I told her about it. Can you define it? What does it mean?
Sure. Well, it's just a you know, acronym for do it yourself. But it you know, DIY has kind of taken on a life of its own. I think earlier on, do it yourself meant home improvement. That's probably where it originated. But you know, now it applies to all forms of self-expression, you know, do-it-yourself media. You know, punk rock was kind of a do-it-yourself music revolution. So do-it-yourself is about really taking those things that we've kind of outsourced to other people and paid for, taking some of those things back and incorporating them into our lives so that we're actually active creators and participants, rather than always being consumers of something that's been created by someone else or some other kind of institution.
Mm-hmm. So this is, DIY has been going on for a while in all these different forms. Do you think that there's kind of a certain brand of DIY that's new that involves this, like as you describe in your book, like raising your own chickens, gardening, maybe making your own clothes?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different areas where people are getting back into DIY. And I think, you know, overall there's a movement of what I would call broad spectrum enthusiasts, people who are interested in a lot of things. So they are interested in beekeeping, you know, but they're also interested in, you know, things like building cigar box guitars or robots. Once you start realizing that the world is a hackable platform, you see all sorts of possibilities. And, you know, being successful in one area of DIY, you can see how you can apply those skills into other areas.
So why do you think there's a collective desire now to do these projects and to, you know, do it yourself? You know, why is this happening now?
my theory is that when the web first came out in the early 90s, before that there was a lot of kind of DIY activities, and people were changing things in the physical world and building and maintaining and modifying things. And then, you know, personal computers, video games, and then the World Wide Web, which is kind of this new territory for creative people with a technology bent to explore. They, you know, spent the last, 17 years developing the World Wide Web from nothing to, you know, this incredibly rich ecosystem that we have now. And now that it's kind of much more mature, all these creative people who had been spending all their time on the computers and on the internet kind of suddenly looked up and looked around and said, wow, you know, I can actually hack the world around me too and change the things that I live with every day.
So how would you describe the typical person who is into making things by hand? Is it, like you're talking about the internet, is it people who are into science and technology and engineering, are they going back to something more simple, or what do you think it is?
I think that's part of it. I think, you know, our world has become, increasingly complex, and we feel, less control over our destinies with, you know, the economy's not good, there are wars going on, the political situation, corporate corruption, all those kinds of things. And we feel, you know, like victims. There's very little we can do to make a change there. But doing things yourself that have a direct effect on you and your family and your community, that is something you can do. And that is something that can be fulfilling, and you can see immediate results and can make a big change in your life. So turning to those kinds of things is a kind of a natural response in a world where, you know, so many things are out of our control.
So you make the point in your book that most of the technological gadgets we have now, like smartphones and maybe some espresso machines, aren't designed to be repaired or modulated by hand. So can you talk about that, and how does making things by hand fit into that larger trend of, like, closed technology?
In the early days, the products didn't have the sticker on there, that condescending little sticker that says no user serviceable parts inside. Today, things are, glued shut. They're hermetically sealed. Think of the iPhone and the iPad. There's no obvious way to open those things. And when they break, you're expected to just throw them away and get another one because they're inexpensive. And that is true. It is inexpensive. And when you throw away something, it's relatively inexpensive to buy something new. But you're also throwing away your ownership of that. That if you actually take the time to repair something, it becomes part of you, and you have a deeper understanding and connection to the human-made environment around you. And having a say in that and having it reflect your personality and your desires to make things the way that you want them to be is a really powerful way to exist, I think. You know, Make Magazine and in my book, I talk about, you know, taking back some of that control by doing, you know, even a little bit of that, even a little bit of taking back control of the way that, you eat by growing your own food and keeping bees and raising chickens. You get a little bit of that control back, and it can improve the quality of your life quite a bit.
You've been listening to Mark Frauenfelder, editor-in-chief of Make magazine and co-founder of Boing Boing. His new book is called Made by Hand, Finding Meaning in a Throwaway World. For more science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science. We're at earthsky.org.